This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to Midday Mobile, and it's time for a checkup. And good to see Dr. Evan Chavers and Dr. Shyla Hossein from AltaPoint Health in to talk about new treatments, early diagnosis, and ending the stigma surrounding schizophrenia. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Now, there's that term, people have heard it, maybe don't know what it means. Okay, well, it's schizophrenia. Somebody is a schizophrenic. What does that mean? What's the actual, like, how does it manifest?
So schizophrenia is a thought disorder. It is a chronic or lifelong mental illness. And by thought disorder, I mean a syndrome associated with delusions or false beliefs. Sometimes we have perceptual disturbances. That'll be when we might hear or see something that's not there. And then a lot of times there's bizarre behavior. And this is hard to name or categorize, but when you see it, you're just, hey, something's a little off there. But that is just part of it. That is describing a syndrome that we call psychosis. And those with schizophrenia can have psychosis, but are not always psychotic.
Okay. This is getting a little more complicated. Okay, go ahead.
There's a little more to it. So if you have just one brief episode of that disordered thought, that does not necessarily mean that you have schizophrenia. However, if that maintains for greater than 6 months and is not associated with drug abuse or things like that, that may in fact be the syndrome of schizophrenia.
So, I mean, is it something that's determined by behaviors, like X number of behaviors over a certain period of time, then that equals schizophrenia? Is that how you decide that?
The time component is really important for it. So you can have, like Dr. Chavers mentioned, like just a short period of time. And a lot of, honestly, what we'll see a lot of the time is that might be something that's drug induced. You know, maybe they used a substance that made them appear disorganized and uncoordinated. But if it's outside of that and then it persists and it's causing a lot of functional deficits, they can't work, they can't live by themselves, and maybe they're withdrawing from society a little bit more, then we're a little bit more worried that there's actually an organic disease going on right here.
And Dr. Hossein, maybe to follow up on that, are there different, I'm so ignorant, are there different levels of schizophrenia? I mean, it's like, could somebody be more or less, or you are or you aren't? I mean.
I would say that schizophrenia can occur on a spectrum. But once you have that diagnosis, we kind of see the spectrum more when somebody's in treatment, if they're, maybe off of medication or under some influences. Some people still continue to use medication, so that makes it more difficult to indicate whether it's like the true psychosis there or not.
And you mentioned medications too. So let's talk about the evolution in the medications used for this, because this has been going on for a while. What's new out there?
Yeah, I think in understanding what's new, we first need to go back to what we had in the past and what we didn't have. And so when you think about antipsychotic medications, that's medications to treat that syndrome of psychosis. Historically, they're associated with a lot of side effects. And the big ones that come to mind are movement disorders. Mm-hmm. So in the past, when we take medications like haloperidol, we may have heard Haldol said before, those medications can cause tremor or sort of a swimming-like movement with long-term use. And that could be really embarrassing and disruptive for patients. And for many years, there was not much that we could do about it. Just tell them to grin and bear it and stick with treatment. But I'm pleased to say here more recently, we have been using what we call second generation antipsychotics that have less of those side effects. And further still, we have better medications to address those side effects. So without getting too much in the weeds, there are some medications that if you have those problems with movement disorders,
then you can deal with that.
We can use those to address that.
Thinking about this, that's why I'm glad y'all defined this, because the term has been, I've heard schizophrenia and schizophrenics my whole life, and not really knowing what all it encompassed. But how does somebody out there, whether it be themselves or loved ones, I know that I've read that early diagnosis is important. Mm-hmm. How do you diagnose it if you're not a professional like y'all are? How do you, and then how do you start treating early? Kind of give me that discussion.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have a blood test or a genetic test that I can take a sample.
Is there any heredity to it that you know of?
There is. There's okay. a significant hereditary component. It is not the most strongly linked genetic thought disorder, but it is
one of them.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I would certainly counsel patients with schizophrenia that if they want to have children, that we would need to talk about expectations that they might transmit the disease. But in meeting someone new, I can't draw some blood and run it through a machine and say yes or no schizophrenia. We are working down a checklist of symptoms, and we need to see those symptoms present for a certain amount of time. Mm-hmm. That is the best that we have to work with. And so working with the patient longitudinally, kind of developing, is this evolving? Is this getting better? And how does it respond to medication?
So in all honesty, if somebody were concerned that maybe a family member had schizophrenia, mm-hmm. Based on family history or just they've noticed that, you know, their adolescent or, you know, young 20-something-year-old is acting a little differently than normal, it's important to just stay in touch with regular primary care as well, or just see if they can be evaluated for, you know, because of the family history of schizophrenia, and just try and develop that relationship that Dr. Javers was talking about so that somebody can be keeping an eye on any of those behaviors and maybe intervene early.
Well, okay, so how early do these things y'all delineated manifest? Is it toddler? Is it adolescent?
Usually late adolescence, early 20s is when we typically see it, which also goes along some of the lines of, you know, a big life transition. Somebody's getting into adulthood, trying to become more functional and live on their own. And if they're having some difficulties with that, if they're having more difficulties with that, then it is probably something that needs to be looked into.
Adolescence is when this is. Okay. Let's talk about treatments for this as well. Long-acting injectable medications. Mm-hmm. So give me, why is that better than previous, or the whys on that?
Right. So as we mentioned earlier, it is a lifelong chronic illness. And so it can be really honestly annoying for patients to have to take a medicine every single day for the rest of their life, especially if they start a medicine in their 20s and they have to continue it all the way up until, you know, forever. Mm-hmm. I mean, we see that with high blood pressure and things like that. You know, you still have to be on a chronic medication. The long-acting injectables provide an option of only taking a medication once a month, sometimes every 2 months, sometimes every 6 months, depending on which medication option you choose and what works well for the patient. Some of it is subjective as
That's
well.
What I was wondering. Out of the tools you all have, if you've got the three of us and we have, you know, we have schizophrenia, what might work on Dr. Javers, works better for him than you, than me? Is it like that, or is it just pretty much if you have this medicine works?
Definitely different people respond to different medications differently.
You're saying the blood pressure thing, like you take one blood pressure pill, it works for me, and you gotta get another one for the other
person. We don't yet have a scientific understanding of why that is, but we certainly see that, hey, this one patient responds perfectly to this medicine, low dose keeps all symptoms under control. Another one could be at max dose of that medicine and it not control the symptoms. And I want to stress this because a lot of patients will say, I feel like you're experimenting on me to get the medicines right. I'm not experimenting. I'm developing a bespoke regimen for tuned into your needs. So we want to make sure we get it right for you.
Did you just make it cool to have the TV? You just go bespoke. I'm going to talk to them when they give me my blood pressure medicine. I'm saying, listen, I want a curated blood pressure medicine for me out there. What's it? Think about schizophrenia in general too. Common misconception out there. Are there misconceptions? Are schizophrenia dangerous to other people, to themselves? Kind of address that.
Sure. So there is a stigma out there that they are more violent than others. I will say the studies have shown that the rate of violent acts caused by people with schizophrenia matches the general population, which is about 5%.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same. if you do, if a patient does experience a violent episode, it's usually one in the context of drugs, not medications. I'm sorry. Usually in the context of drugs or medication noncompliance.
And not taking the meds.
Not okay. taking yes. their meds. Okay. Yeah. And if you control for those, then it goes back to the general population rate. So the stigma that they're more violent than others is really just not true at that point.
With treatment, though.
With treatment. Well, right. correct. But with treatment and not using other mind-altering substances.
Okay.
Right. But in general, the rate is still matches the general population. And so, you know, we do see several people in the hospital who have also had a history of legal episodes, maybe been in jail in the past. But by and large, people are more likely to hurt schizophrenic people because they're scared of them, or they're acting, or they're not organized enough to be able to behave appropriately in a situation. They get themselves in trouble that way. But under treatment, the rates are they're not more violent than others.
Dr. Hossain, Dr. Chavers, thank you for the frank discussion about this and y'all's work you're doing with AltaPoint. Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.